I'm good. I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and it is a pleasure to be down here. Y'all just think it's cold. I heard some people saying this morning that it had gotten cold. It was 17 degrees when we left, and we were proud to leave it. proud to leave it. And I owe a couple of things to Terry. First off, I would be much more comfortable in jeans. Thanks for the warning.
I forgot to tell him we were kind of dressed down.
But anyway, I want to thank Terry and Nancy for having us. And like he said, we've known each other for a long, long time. Three decades, 30 years going back. Like he said, our kids grew up together. Dustin and my son were best of friends, played football. Not football, but baseball. Baseball. In fact, Dustin is responsible for knocking my plate glass window out twice. My son would come to me and say, Daddy, can we play ball in the front yard? And I said, yes, but you have to be really careful because I don't want you knocking the window out. And we've always seen those cartoons and those stories about baseballs and plate glass windows. And I'm here to tell you that it's true, twice. But and the look on their face when they did it the second time was unbelievable. And the look on the guys, the glass company's guy's face was a smile because he got to do it twice. But and it was a pretty picture window. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Nancy, for having us up there. And I want to start by saying, wow. I've been to a lot of churches over the years and a lot of worship. And your worship team is the finest I've ever heard. The Spirit of God showed up, and that's what I was praying for. And first, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for the traveling mercies that we got coming down, Lord, the traveling mercies we're going to have going back, Lord. Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will show up today. Lord, let your words be my words be your words. Let them all flow together, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Amen. All right, where do I start? Let's see. First off, this is my wife, Sherry. We're starting our 33rd year, 32 years and 3 days now. Just had an anniversary there. But she has been, for lack of a better word, a rock in my life. I was not saved when I met her. She is the reason I am saved. She had planted seed in my life, and I pretty much gave my life to the Lord between the drive axles of a roadway truck and the trailer axles on I-75. Going down I-75, I had a front tire blow out on a Harley Davidson, and I was in the slow lane. There was a roadway truck in front of me, another truck behind me, and in the fast lane was a truck passing all of us. I had nowhere to go. Front tire blows out, and the next thing I know, I'm on the side of the motorcycle sliding down the highway at about 60 miles an hour on the foot pegs and the handlebars, and slid. What happened was, I think, is the handlebars hit one of those markers in the road, and it spun me underneath the truck to my left. I remember thinking, they're going to clean me up with a fire hose. And I called out to God, and I said, God, please save me. And I think the foot peg hit another marker in the road, and I spun into the median, into the grass. It's cool, tall, uncut Georgia grass, wet from the dew in the morning, and slid to a stop. And I think I passed out. I think I passed out because I remember looking up at the sky and hearing the track, and nobody stopped. Nobody stopped. And I looked up and walked to the next exit and called a buddy, and they came and loaded my bike up and took me back to Valdosta. And I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks after that, watching the 700 Club at night and getting convicted. And then Sherry, my wife now, it led me to the Lord. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it's been a road. It's been a long road. We have 4 children, a son and 3 daughters, married to wonderful spouses, 4 grandsons. I've got 4 grandsons, 6, 4, 4, and 2, all up in, well, 2 of them in South Carolina and 2 of them in Virginia. But they're the apple of our eyes. We love our grandsons, and I know y'all love your families as well. But enough about me and that. Let's get to the Word. I wanted to talk today, and the Word he brought forth earlier, discovery. Y'all remember that word in 2018, discovery. It's a good word. It is. I want to talk today about faith. I got a few notes. And I'll give you a little secret. When you decide that you're going to teach on faith, don't tell anybody. Because everything will start falling apart. We have climbed over so many obstacles, so many pitfalls, so many incidents, so many events to get here, and then we finally brought it all together. We did not even know that we would have the funds to get here until Christmas Eve. Let me sidetrack the sowing and harvesting. The Word says if you sow, you're going to harvest. I gave a gentleman, I'm tight with a dollar, but there was a panhandler on the side of the road at a stoplight off the highway, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I had a crisp $20 bill in my pocket. That was going to be my lunch for the next couple of days. Had to work Christmas Eve. And God clearly said, give that man that money. And I pulled out that crisp $20 bill, and as I cruised past him, I handed it to him and put it in his hand. I said, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. I've sown. Now, sometimes you plant seed today, you don't get tomatoes tomorrow. But we were believing God that everything was going to come together for the finances to come down on this trip. And I work for a relatively harsh man. I sell guns and work in a gun range up in Virginia. I've been working with guns for about 43 years now. I started in the Marine Corps and then went on to be a cop and a deputy sheriff. And it's just been a passion in my life, and I work there. But the guy who owns the business is known to be Ebenezer Scrooge. And he shows up right after we opened on Christmas Eve, and he walks in his usual gruff manner, and he says, open the safe. Well, they go in and open the safe, and he reaches in and grabs a stack of cash. He walks around handing out $100 bills like Santa Claus. So he gave me a $100 bill, and I said, thank you, sir, and Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and went on. Had a great day working there. We were really busy. And then we get to church that night. Walk into church. One of the gentlemen in our church, he's 78 years old, just a blessing. Comes over and he says, God told me to give you something. And he says, I understand you going down to preach your first sermon. By the way, this is my first sermon. I have never done this before. I've taught plenty of children, but I've never got in front of adults. But, maybe the attention spans are a little bit longer. But he handed it to me, and I opened the envelope, and it was quite a sum of money. He put $500 in my lap. So I got to thinking, I looked at Sherry right away, and I said, did the math in my head, and I said, that's 30-fold in one day. $600 increase over what I'd sown that morning, 30-fold increase. And that got back to faith. I knew that God was going to make the way to come down here. But faith. The world says faith is a belief in something, a strong belief in something, when you've got absolutely no evidence to prove it. Our Christian walks tell us that faith is an unshakable belief in God without proof or evidence. We believe in God. We believe that Jesus Christ was His Son. Well, let's look at a couple of examples on faith. If you could go to Genesis 6, Genesis 6, and it's going to be up there and you can read along with me. But I'm going to talk about Noah for a minute. I've got a son named Noah, so this is kind of close to my heart. Genesis 6, 14 and 22. I'm going to paraphrase it here. Everybody knows the story. But let's think about it for a minute. Let's unpack it. God calls down to Noah and says, build an ark. And Noah says, a what? God says, a boat. What's a boat? And they have this conversation about building the ark. Timbers of cedar. Pitch. What's pitch, Lord? That black stuff bubbling out of the ground. Seven animals? Two animals. Two of these, seven of those? No, Noah. Seven of those, two of those. So Noah says, okay, why? It's going to rain. Well, it's rain, God. It's going to rain. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm going to destroy everything in this world. Every man, woman, child, animal, save you, your family, and what I've told you to load up. Noah built the ark based on his faith. Let's move over in the Old Testament again to Abraham. Abraham. Now, when I think about Abraham, I think about, some of y'all might remember this, that keep on trucking guy with the long hair and the robe. I don't know if some of y'all remember that, but it's a throwback now. You've probably seen the mud flaps on the tractor trailer trucks or the bumpers on a bumper sticker on a car that said that, but Abraham was an old man. Abraham was 99 years old, and God said, you're going to have a son. And what was his reaction to that? The Bible says he fell down laughing. And I can imagine that. I had a wife 90 years old. Well, laughter turned into faith. And Isaac was born. A few years later, Abraham is tested. Abraham was a faithful man. Abraham loved God. All Abraham's family loved God. Abraham was tested. God said, take Isaac, put him on an altar, and offer him up for burnt offerings. Some accounts say he was 9. Some say he was old as 20, Isaac. I'm going to kind of in the middle there. I'm thinking he's 15 or 16 years old. So Abraham loads up two of his servants, donkeys, and Isaac, and they go to the place God told him to go. And all this while, can you imagine for a moment, all this while, every foot that Abraham puts in front of the other when they're walking there, he's thinking, I'm going to sacrifice my only son. And imagine for a minute how heavy that would have to weigh on you, knowing that you're going to have to sacrifice your only son because God told you to do it. They camped, and Abraham looked at the servants and he says, we're going to pack up the wood. We'll be back soon. I'll be back soon. And he went, and they laid the wood out, he and his son Isaac. He laid the wood out. And in my mind, I see him piling the wood on, and Isaac has obviously been to a few burnt offering ceremonies before where they offer up burnt offerings, and Isaac has got to be looking around for the ram. And there is no ram yet. So Isaac's there, and after a while, and I can imagine Isaac whistling. If anybody would start whistling, and then Abraham tied his son up and laid him upon the altar. Now, a 16 or 17 year old youngin is got to be a little scrappy. I can't imagine if a 16 year old boy didn't want to be tied up and thrown on top of an altar. But you've got to remember that Isaac was a man after God too. He believed his father. He had faith. He didn't struggle. He allowed his father Abraham to put the bindings on him and put him up there. And I can imagine for a moment looking up, Isaac looking up and seeing his father silhouetted against the sky, and Abraham looking down at his son about to take his son's life, when an angel says, not yet. And there's a ram tied over, his horns stuck in the bushes. God will provide the sacrifice. And I say all that to try to drive home the fact that there was faith, monumental faith on both of their parts, on Abraham and on Isaac. Because Isaac was ready. Isaac trusted his father, had faith in his father, and he was ready. Faith is God. God is faith. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. We've got that as a foundation in our Christian walks. I will never leave you or forsake you. God is faithful all the time. God shows up all the time. I know there's been examples in your lives and mine and Sherry's life and Terry's life and Nancy's life that God shows up all the time. God cannot be unfaithful. It's just not in his being. He cannot be unfaithful. And a core element of faithfulness is honesty. And I'm transitioning from faith to faithfulness because faithfulness is the action of walking out your faith. Doing what God has you to do. Faith is reliable, trustworthy, dependable, steadfast, permanent, on time, never late. Never late. Our God is an on-time God. Reliable. Meets your needs all the time. Always there. Always there. And the opposite of that would be, anybody ever had a bad tooth? Yeah. Proverbs 25:9. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is the unfaithful, depending on the unfaithful. I don't want to be a bad tooth. I don't want to have a lame foot. Faithful. We need to be faithful to God, to our church, to our pastors, to our home churches, to each other. We need to be faithful like Jonathan's armor bearer. Jonathan's armor bearer. Now, armor bearer is to Jonathan like a caddy is to a pro golfer. Except instead of a 9-iron, he's going to hand him a spear. Instead of a wedge, he's going to hand him a shield. And I'm telling you, this stuff was heavy. A spear in biblical times was about 7 to 8 foot long, a lot bigger around than a broomstick, probably about 1.25 inches around in the shaft, and usually had a bronze head on it. A shield could weigh 35 to 40 pounds. So Jonathan's royalty, he's carrying, the armor bearer is carrying his armor. One day Jonathan in his youth says, "Hey, we're going to go against the Philistines. Are you with me?" And Jonathan's armor bearer faithfully says, "I'm with you. Let's go get them." And God delivered the Philistines into Jonathan's hands. We need to be faithful like Naomi was to Ruth. Ruth went away, took her whole family. Husband and sons died, left with two widows of her sons. And one of them went back to her family. But Naomi said, "I'm with you all the way. Your God is my God. I'm following you." And they went back, and life was good when they got back. She found favor. She eventually married. She had Obed. Obed gave birth, or fathered Jesse. Jesse fathered David, the king of Israel, because of her obedience, because she came back. Now, people like to think that they're faithful. Think about it for a minute. Are we really? Are we really faithful? We like to say we are, but are we really? Are we really faithful every day? And at least in my life, the answer is no. I want to be, but I always fall short. But that's where we are, I think. What are some of the blessings that God puts forth for us for being faithful? Now, we've got a reward in heaven. We're going to die. We're going to pass on and go to our reward in heaven. But here on earth, God wants us to be faithful here on earth. What are some of those rewards? Well, there's a lot of them, but I'm going to talk about four of them primarily. Health. The faithful endure good health. Provisions, strength, long life. Ephesians 6:1-4 says, "Children, obey your mother, honor your mother and father, and you will live a long life." Honor, you can't honor somebody that you don't have faith in. Honor your father and mother. Strength, my favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have fallen back on that scripture all of my saved life. I first heard that scripture at New Covenant Christian Center in Valdosta, Georgia, and later used it. When I think of faith, we always think of the good things, but there's trials involved too. Everybody in here has been through some trials. We've been through some trials. We've had a horrible 2017. A lot of people have expressed that too, that we, for one, are glad that 2017 is coming to a close. It's been a challenging year. But when I think about faith and acting out faith and faithfulness, I always come back to the things God does for us, the strength. Good example come forth. I was on the SWAT team for the state of Georgia, but in order to get on the SWAT team for the state of Georgia, you had to try out for the SWAT team. That SWAT team was a physical fitness test where we had to run 3 miles, immediately stop, maximum push-ups, stop, go over to the next table, maximum sit-ups, stop, fall down off the chin-up bar, and run another mile. And at the end of that mile was a 40-foot rope climb. And there were about 150 guys trying out for these 18 positions on the SWAT team. First SWAT team the state of Georgia was going to put together. Statewide multi-jurisdictional task force. And I wanted one of those slots. And there was another guy that was working at the prison at the time. There was another guy that worked with me, and he wanted one of those slots. And he was a Georgia State powerlifting champion. He was a strapping young man. He just got out of the Army. He was a tank commander in the first Desert Storm. And he was one of my best officers. I was a sergeant. He was one of my officers. And I was a little worried. Now, I'm a former Marine. I was in good shape. But I was a little worried about passing this test. We're on a 3-mile run. And I figured the whole time, if I can stay right behind him, he's going to make it. I knew Jerry Lipsy was going to make it. If I can stay right behind him, I'll at least finish. And I'll be on the team, too, because I know Jerry's making it. I'm running behind Jerry. And my goal was to keep up with Jerry. And I'm literally 5 feet behind him the whole time he's running. And when it's getting hard and it gets really hard, I'm back there breathing, huffing and puffing. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And we get hard, and then we stop and we do the push-ups. And I'm right behind them, and they're keeping score, and then we jump over and we do sit-ups. I'm right behind Jerry, and he jumps up and right over to the chin-up bar, and we do the chin-up bar, and I drop down off the chin-up bar, and we start that next mile run. And there's no break between these things. You've got to do one right after the others. I'm still recovering from the 3-mile run. And I'm running behind him again, right on his heels. As a couple times my foot hit the back of his shoe. And he turned around and looked at me. And after a while, I started hearing him, "I do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We finished. We got to that rope, and that was hard. By then, my legs are made out of rubber, and my arms aren't much better. Jerry made it to the top of the rope, and there was two ropes, and another guy beat me to go up that rope. So I got a little bit of reprieve. I could catch my breath. Jerry comes down, and I go up the rope, hit the bell at the top of the rope to signal I got down to the bottom and come down to the bottom. And we walked over, and he says, "We made it." And we looked at our times, and we were in the top of the times. And he goes, "Man, I didn't think I was going to make it." I said, "Yeah." He said, "What were you saying back there?" I said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." He said, "That's what I was saying too." And I said, "Jerry, I'll be honest with you. I figured that if I could stay on your heels, I knew you were going to make it. If I could stay on your heels, I'd make it." And he goes, he said, "Travis," he said, "my thinking was if I could just stay ahead of you, I would make it." But we both made it. We were on the SWAT team for 5 or 6 years together, and he was a blessing. He really was. He went on to be a cop in Tifton, Georgia. When I think of faith, I think of trials and faithfulness and trials, and we've been through a few. My daughter Amber was on the back porch of the house playing with my youngins. She was about 6 or 7 years old, and my only son was playing on the back deck too. She saw that he was about to fall off of the deck backwards, and she ran over, pushed him out of the way, and there's a baby gate, and went back over the baby gate, over the top of the baby gate, onto the steps, and hit so hard she lost consciousness. And Sherry called the ambulance, called 911. We were in Lake Park, Georgia. And at the time, I can promise you, there was no ambulance service in Lake Park, Georgia. The ambulance had to come from Valdosta, at South Georgia Medical Center, all the way to Lake Park. By now, she's conscious, but she's in pain. She's hurting. We're trying not to move her. I'm trained as an EMT, being on the SWAT team was one of my ancillary duties, was being an EMT. And I know this is bad. We're praying. I don't know if y'all have one here, but we had a phone tree. She called the church. It's one of those, she calls one person, they call two. Those two call two. Those two call two. And pretty soon you've got half the church praying. She calls. We're waiting. Ambulance gets lost. There's two golf drives. There's a golf drive, golf loop and a golf drive. We're on golf drive. They go to the other one. I can hear them in the distance. How frustrating can you imagine it's a father with a child hurt like that? You can hear the ambulance in the distance, and you're talking to the operator on the phone, and they're going, they're lost. I can hear them. But we got them there. They took her to the hospital. They brought her in, and they x-rayed her. And they came back out, and the doctors got the x-rays. And you know how they walk in, and they put them up on that board like that. And he goes, I've got some grave news for you. Your daughter's broken L4 and L5 in her back. That'll take the starch out of you. And we prayed, and her physician, her pediatrician shows up. Her pediatrician, Dr. Light, renowned pediatrician, nephrologist up there in Valdosta, he looks at it, and you can see the worry on his face. He's the one that's had taken care of her since she was an infant. Had come to my home with his grip when I had children sick, back when doctors still made house calls. And you can tell that he sees it too. When we called, the elders of the church came, the pastors of the church came, prayed and laid hands on her. We prayed all night. The church prayed all night. And the doctor said, we'll wait till the next morning. We'll wait till tomorrow morning and see how the swelling's going down, how everything's doing. We'll take some more x-rays, figure out what to do. We wake up the next morning. Stayed in the hospital room. Somebody came. I think Nancy may have even come taking care of the children. I can't remember. I don't even know who took care of the children that night. Somebody in the church. We come the next morning and wake up. Amber says, I got to pee. Can I get up and pee? No, baby, you've got a broken back. So we take care of that. And they come back in and they want to wheel her out and x-ray her again. And we're praying. Lee Barnes, L.A. Joiner, David Five Ash, I think you were there too, or you were back at the church praying. 20 minutes later, they roll her back into the room, and doctor comes in with the x-rays, and he takes the x-ray and sticks it up there on that light and turns the light on. Takes the one from yesterday and sticks it up there and puts it with the light on. And he says, I've got no way to explain this other than the miraculous healing of a child, but there's no broken L4 or L5 here. It's broken here. It's not broken here. And Amber's listening to this. She goes, can we go home now? So we load her up in the, they're going to fit her for a back brace. We load her up in the wheelchair, and they take her out front. And we get out to the front to get her into the car, and she unbuckles that back brace, and she says, Mama, I'm either healed or I'm not. And she got in that car and went home, was playing the next day. Or when my son, have ever been in these old farmhouses, these tall windows. You ever pull the tobacco stick out and watch that thing slam down like a guillotine? I'm in the kitchen doing something, and I hear that my son run through the bedroom, and it's an old farmhouse made in the 1890s out south of Lake Park, Georgia. And he playing knocks the stick out, and that wind had come down like a guillotine on his arm. He had a toy in his hand, and when I saw him, he immediately comes, he's stuck in the window. I pick the window up, and he flings around like this and flails, and his arm makes a 90-degree turn right here with a toy hanging down in the hand. And he flails it around, and it just flails around unnaturally. And I took something. I thought it was a yardstick. Sherry says it was a spanking spoon. We took the spanking spoon and wrapped it around his arm, and by now it's got this huge red mark on it, and wrapped a towel around it. And Sherry's nursing an infant. We had the baby home, our youngest daughter home, Grace, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And she's got two other girls with, and I load him up in the van. She calls the church, and we're off. And it's a 35, 40-minute drive to the church. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I know that other people were praying and praying. And I get to the emergency room, and David Fiveash and L.A. Joyner were there and said, we're here. What can we do? And I said, just pray. And we get into the emergency room, and they unwrap it, bring that x-ray machine over and x-ray it. Well, on the way there, he was crying and wailing and wailing. He was in pain, and then he cried himself to sleep. And I'm holding him, driving, no seatbelt in a Dodge van. He fell asleep, and I looked down at one point at his face, and he's smiling. And I'm, he's screaming bloody murders, tears still rolling down, and he's smiling. And we got there, and they x-rayed his arm and brought him back into me. And Dr. Light, who had run to the hospital to meet us there, back when pediatricians would meet you at the hospital when they found out one of their patients was sick or hurt, he comes down, he says, I don't see anything wrong. They ain't a mark on him. What happened? And I said, no. And I went back in there and looked, and there wasn't a mark on him. I don't know how. I know what I saw. Arms don't bend at right angles in the middle. But he was healed. We just believed. And that is something that comes with faithfulness, is healing. Provision. Like God's word says, his people never go hungry. Never go hungry in Proverbs. Never go hungry. Health. Healing. Earlier this year, my wife was so sick, I thought I was going to lose her. I think that was a pivotal point in her life, but more, or as importantly, it was a pivotal point in my life. I had been a Christian all these years. We had been in and out of churches for 15 years. Couldn't find the right church in Virginia. Couldn't find the right church. We'd go a year here, 2 months there, one Sunday here, two Sundays there to give it a second chance. Never could find the right church. We prayed. We would often have service in our home. But I wasn't reading my Bible every day. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And my wife got sick overnight. We both got sick with a norovirus. At least I did. And she got sick a couple days later after I was feeling better. She never got well. It was horrible. I've never seen. This is a woman who had a baby at 9:16 in the morning and went grocery shopping at 2 that afternoon. I have never seen. And the lady at the store knew that she had been pregnant. She says, "Where's your baby?" She goes, "At home where they belong." But here's a woman that's got the constitution of an American Indian, and she's sick, and I can't do anything about it. We went from doctor to doctor, emergency room to emergency room, CT scan, MRI scan to MRI scan. And when I look back on it, I think the biggest offense we made was letting fear in. Letting fear in. Fear of death. I could smell the fear on her at times. I could see the fear in her eyes at times. When for no reason at all, when you've been in bed for a month and you cannot get out of bed for the nausea, when you haven't eaten a meal in 6 or 7 days, when you've lost 55 pounds over the course of 2 months and the doctors can't tell you why, when your hair's falling out in patches and there's no reason why, it'll put the fear of God in you. It did her and it did me. And we probably made some mistakes along the way as far as getting her treated. When somebody's that sick and nobody can tell you why, when her blood work's normal, when her CT scans are coming back normal, when her MRIs are normal, and she's still this sick and falling apart, and you can see the fear in her eyes, it'll scare you. And I got scared. I let fear in. I pushed for medical tests when I probably shouldn't. But we stood on God's word, and we made a breakthrough. We put the word of God in her life. She was so sick, all she could do was sit back and listen to healing tapes. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but there's a pastor out there called Keith Moore. Keith Moore is from Rhema. He's a graduate of Rhema under Dr. Hagen. And he's got a good healing ministry. He believes in healing, and that's all she could do was listen to those tapes. And at one point, she said, just get me to church. And we found a church. We found a Rhema church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and started attending, and that's where it turned around. But one of the things that Keith Moore said was to put God's word in your life. You need faith, put God's word in your life. So she came up with this little book. There are 200 healing scriptures in this book. Did anybody know there were 200 healing scriptures in the Bible? I didn't. But there are 200 healing scriptures in this book that she hand wrote. And she would walk around the pool repeating these scriptures. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Your days shall be 120 years. You shall be buried in a good old age. I turn the curse into blessing unto you because I loved you. I have redeemed you from every sickness and every plague. I have found ransom for you. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's. You shall return to the days of your youth. I have healed you and brought you up, your soul from the grave. I have kept you alive from going down into the pit. I will give you strength and bless you with peace. I know she has read these words 1,000 times. That is what got us through, got her through, us through the last year. That's fear. What beats fear? The Word of God. The Word of God beats fear every time. The Word of God beats fear in spades. The Word of God beats fear with period. So let's talk about what faith is not and how to get back to faith in 2018. I want 2018 to be a faith year for all of you. We've dedicated it's going to be a faith year, a renewal year, a faith year for us. A faith year in 2018. But let's look at some of the things that faith is not. This is the shortest part of today right now. Faith is not late, absent, tardy, lazy. It's not backbiting. It does not lie. Faith is not sin, cannot be in the presence of its sin. faith is not fear. When faith cometh, fear goeth. We heard that over and over and over. That is the foundation of her getting well. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space at the same time. They're diametrically opposed. The Word of God will stop Satan's lies in their track. I want you to try something with me for a minute. I want y'all to close your eyes for a moment and count. I want you to count silently to yourself. One, two, three, four. And at some moment there, I'm going to repeat a scripture to you, and I want you to repeat it back to me. All right, close your eyes and begin counting. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, did you notice for a moment you couldn't keep counting? It stopped. You couldn't keep counting. Let's try it again. One. The name of the Lord is like a strong tower. We will run into it and be safe. Could anybody keep counting? When Satan is beating you over the head with something, when you're fearful, God wants us to have faith. He wants us to pour into Him, to worship when it's bad, to praise Him when it's bad. And the greatest tool I think there is out there to build your faith and to walk in faithfulness is to put the Word of God in your life. Put the Word of God in your life. You got a smartphone? You can have Scripture at your hand just like that. Repeat Scripture. Satan's lies and the Word of God cannot occupy the same space in your mind. Period. When the devil's beating you up with your finances, go find the scriptures about finances. Read them. Write them down. Put them on a sticky note on the visor in your car. When he's beating you up about your health or a relationship, find those scriptures, write them on your hand, write them on your heart. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I can't give you any more than that today. Now, as we end 2017, and gratefully, and move into 2018, going back to the word Terry had earlier, discovery. Let's discover some new things about our faith this year. Let's find new words and new scriptures that we haven't seen before. Let's dedicate time to finding those things and discover and grow and yield and love and peace and joy and have a triumphal 2018. Terry, you want to come up here?